This show is sponsored by Hulu Plus. Hulu Plus lets you binge on thousands of hit shows anytime, anywhere on your TV, PC, smartphone, or tablet. Support this podcast and get an extended free trial of Hulu Plus when you go to HuluPlus.com/Joey. That's HuluPlus.com/Joey.
Oh shit. For you motherfuckers that don't know, it's that day. It's the beginning of your fucking world, beginning of your life, baby. The church of what's happening now on a Wednesday. Who's better than you? Oh shit. Oh shit. Lee Syatt is making his fucking yarmulke aerodynamic. Uncle Joey's getting ready to rock with you. Smoking, snorting, fucking, sucking. It's Wednesday. Writing down your goals, washing your feet. Doing some jumping jacks. Hit it, Lee, this bad motherfucker. Oh shit. Oh shit, Lee. Bring that motherfucker on home, Lee. What, are you kidding me or what? Pull it out. Come in her eyeball. Here you go. It's Wednesday, cocksucker. Get it. Are you kidding me or what? What's happened, Lee Syatt, you bad little motherfucker, you?
Nothing. I've been wondering for a while. Do you have, like, one of those foot baths, or are you doing it in the shower? Like, you always, you talk about washing your feet more than anything, and I like, where do you wash your feet? Like,
Wash it with my hands. I get the fucking, I put soap on it, and I get the washcloth, and I scrub in between the toes, and I still find green shit. I don't understand how that fucking works. My wife's like, you know you got mold growing in between your little fucking toe? Filthy cocksuckers. It's July 24th.
Oh, shit.
Oh, shit.
Big 2 weeks coming
2013. Up. Are you kidding me or what? I hope you're having a great summer. I don't even feel like the fucking summer. I don't even feel like the fucking summer. Like, it's hot, but it don't feel like the fucking summer. I got to do something.
I think it's because, like, at least for me, I still remember the days when I got summer vacation. I haven't... I was thinking about it the other day. In the 2.5 years I've been here, the only time I've been out of L.A., is 1 week a year at Christmas time. I haven't had any, like, it's something you get used to as a kid. You get 3 months off, you get a week off every couple months in the spring. There's no time off.
There's no fucking time off, man. It's just amazing how, yeah, you're right. When you're a kid, you got the summers off, you jingle, you jump up and down, you run in the fucking the street, and you go back once the leaves come. Remember when the leaves are coming to the East Coast? That's when you fucking know. Here, we got no leaves. We got Mexicans. We got no fucking leaves.
Well, they're probably a little bit darker at the end of the summer.
But remember when you get the fucking leaves? Once you get the leaves and you're walking home and kicking the fucking leaves in the fall. That's just a great day. We used to take bricks and put them on the street and cover the bricks with fucking leaves so the car could hit them and shit.
You put them in the street?
In the fucking street.
I thought you put them on the sidewalk.
No, a lot of people would put, like, tons of leaves on the side of the street. We would take, like, 12-inch block and put, like, 10 of them on a fucking thing and cover them with fucking... and then sit in the bushes and wait for somebody to drive by and hit that fucking wall. And somebody would always hit it because I think it was a pile of leaves.
Of course. I was just
going to... Tremendous. Tremendous.
This is, like, the difference between us. I was just going to be like, you remember when you would jump on the crunchy ones or you jump in a big pile of them and you're telling me a story when you used to fucking trick cars in a fucking...
Oh, that's all you'd hear. Boom! And all some... the guy would get out. Fuck you! And we'd be running in the weeds and shit, because that's what we'd do. We'd stay there and wait for the possum to fall into the hole.
Jesus.
Interesting day yesterday. You know, man, you know what I love about life?
What?
That you learn something new, either about something or about yourself every day. Every year at Comic-Con, my brother George, he's not my blood brother, but he's as close as it gets to my brother, comes out to work Comic-Con. Every year he breaks my balls about going down there. After 10 years, he's finally given up. He's like, no, you're not going to come down. I'm not going to come down. I love George, but I've written my goals a little bit too much. It goes to my day. You know, people look at me, listen to me in the podcast, they think like, oh, I just wake up in the morning and I slither around like a fucking snake. They don't know that I'm up to the minute. And now that I only have 5 hours a day because of the babysitting and whatnot, I'm even more up to the minute.
Yeah.
Like all that shit. So I know what's coming. I know that I'm going to end up going to San Diego, having to pick him up, or drive him to the airport. It's 3 days. And I had a heavy Monday and Tuesday. The schedule lately in my life is it's heavy Monday and Tuesday. Wednesday is, and then Thursday I'm on a fucking plane.
Mm-hmm.
But when I'm home, there's nothing. You don't understand. Like, I don't, sometimes I'm having a good time with you, with my wife, the baby, and I don't want to go on the road on a Thursday, but I have no option because there's nothing really going on. It's not like I have an audition. In the old days, I get an audition for a huge movie and have to cancel and all controversy and people be mad at me. I have to cancel Thursday night. That doesn't happen no more.
Yeah.
From this thing. So, yes, that was a little busy. You know, I had some shit Monday and I had some shit yesterday. So, Monday he wanted to go to his buddies in Long Beach. Not even going to come up yesterday. And I was a little angry because I didn't know how I was going to fit him in. I don't like people visiting me, especially people like that, because I can't cater to them 150%. Because I'm always doing something. Whenever somebody comes to visit you, you know, I don't have a job.
Mm-hmm.
My job is whenever. You know what I'm saying? But usually, for me to get busy, two things have to happen. A, I either have to get ready to get out of town, or B, somebody comes to visit me. It's an automatic. As soon as somebody says, I'm coming to see you, they're coming in Thursday night at 2 in the afternoon or something, I'll get an audition at 1:30.
Yeah.
It's just the way life is. It's just the way life is. You can't do it. So sure enough, he wants to come up yesterday, and I got 1,000 things to do.
Yeah.
Went to the doctor yesterday. My blood pressure was 195. Over 105 when I got there yesterday.
Is that bad or good?
That's fucking really bad.
Oh, okay.
That's how stressful I was. I had to go to Culver City.
That's why.
That's why, right there. That old Laurel Canyon was bumper to bumper at 10:30 in the fucking morning, you know. So, in all this, he wants to get a ride up. So I get him the train schedule, the whole fucking deal. My wife, finally Edgar, our good dear friend Edgar, decides to pick him up and bring him up.
Okay.
And I'm in the middle of all this. I got something late. So I had a 5:30. I had a 7:30 last night. I wanted to work out last night. His plane was at 9:45.
So that takes you from like 6:30 to...
Yeah. So I said, what the... No, I couldn't even see him. So he finally... Okay. Edgar brought him about 3. I met him at 3. I took him over to see the baby. Him, myself, and my wife went over to the Slinging Door barbecue. And I had some chicken breast, you know, and a salad and whatnot. And didn't touch the cornbread. We didn't get no fuck, yeah. Didn't touch the cornbread, nothing. You know, I'm really serious about this now. And I got him a cab. You know, I gave him some cash and I got him a cab. And they took him to LAX, you know, God knows. And I don't mind driving somebody to the airport. But LAX is a complete different animal. You don't know what time. You might hit traffic on the way down or you might hit traffic on the way back. He had 3 hours to kill. I'll tell you, as soon as I put him in the cab, my heart broke. You know, like I told my wife, I go, I have acquaintances in my life. This is family. Like last weekend in Philly, a lot of great people showed up, and I was really happy. And that's one of the things I thought about. Even Danny B. Wins,
mm-hmm.
That guy's a good, dear friend of mine. Like Danny B. Wins blew my mind last week. I finally looked over and I go, this motherfucker loves me for who the fuck I am with all the stories and all the craziness. I mean, he follows me. We go on the road now together. We go to eat. We laugh. I got him high with a Chibo chew. I fucked him up. He tweeted that somebody Mickey'd him the next day at the bar. He didn't know the strength of Chibo. You know, Lee, I have acquaintances, and I have these guys that are, you know, 35 years in. I've been running with them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I went upstairs, my wife said, what's the matter? And I go, I feel terrible about George, that I couldn't give him a whole day of just Joey getting him high, eating, cracking jokes. George is like you. I've never really seen a sweetness in a man like you and George. You're very, very sweet for a man. George is a very sweet guy. We were laughing yesterday in front of Edgar. How he would do heroin. He'd go into the city, get a bag of heroin. But he also stopped to get you a sandwich. And he'd get you rolling papers. You know, he always thought of you. Even when he was on the fucking heroin, he always thought of you. What pisses me off about George is he's everybody's fucking doormat. When everybody wants to get moved, they call George. When everybody needs to borrow a thing, they call George. When they have a party, they don't call George. And that's what burns me up about people. That's why I don't like certain people, because they take advantage of people.
Yeah.
He's very sweet. You have the same quality. You're very sweet. I was just heartbroken the rest of the night last night, because I've known George 3 months before my mother died. I met George 3 or 4 months.
At summer school, right?
Yeah, July of 79. It is 2013. That's close to 34 fucking years, right?
Yeah.
21 and fucking 13.
And how long did you live with him? You lived with him and his grandma for a while, right?
Lived, you know, here I am outside. I'm confused. I'm casing fucking houses. I take a bus up to Bergen County to case a joint, you know, the case a block.
Yeah.
I would case blocks, you know. And I was there at one time, and I saw that there was good actor on the block. And I'm walking, and there's George, you know, landscaping, you know. And he opened me his home. And let me tell you something, man. That 4 months I stayed with him at 85 was what I needed.
Mm-hmm.
It got me some sleep. I had a shower. I had warm meals. I put money together. I did a lot of crime when I lived there those 4 months. A lot of petty thief shit, but all I was trying to do was glue that conduit together. I stayed under the radar. There were people looking for me. Nobody knew where the fuck I was. You know, I really shut it down. And I think of George as somebody who, when I get the call of his death, or when he gets a call of my death,
mm-hmm.
the remaining years of this planet are going to be tough. They really are. That's how good of friends I am with him.
Yeah.
You know? And it's just amazing that at this age, I'm out here. And I tell you, 10 years ago, I didn't need George out here. Now, at this age, I need somebody out here. I'm to that age where I need somebody who I hang out with like that, that's tight with me, who I grew up with. That I don't need to just see him once a week and have coffee with him would be pretty fucking good in my life. That would really fill the void in my life. Fuck, Greg Schmidt called me yesterday. I got to call him back, too. He's Danny B's cousin. But that's what happened with George yesterday. It really ate me alive that I couldn't give him 20 hours. You know, when I go to New York, George gives me the week. But then again, George don't give a fuck about anything. He don't give a fuck about his job. He just lives, you know, I have a schedule, you know, I have to do it. Like, George had to sit with me yesterday for an hour while I watched the baby.
Mm-hmm.
The 10 minutes before she goes to bed, it's a nightmare. When she's tired, she don't want to see nobody, she don't want to giggle. She just, you have to bend her over pretty much, like hold her on her side and play with her and kiss her and tell her you love her, and then she'll fall asleep. You know, mm-hmm. she'll start making these noises. And you look down and her eyes are closed. It's over. So he had to sit there with me, and it was weird that this was... I knew him when I was 14, 15, and here I am holding a kid in front of him. He's my original daughter's godfather.
Oh, really?
He's Jackie's godfather.
That's crazy.
He's Jackie's godfather, George. He really is.
So when you said you were mad when he said he wanted to come up, it's like you weren't mad at him, you were mad at like yourself because you knew you couldn't do it?
I'm mad at the situation because I wish I'd give him more. I wish I'd give him more. When people come out here, after the James thing, I got really embarrassed. And I got really down on my life because I don't do much. I don't do much.
Yeah.
It's amazing. I don't do much. And I don't know how to describe that to people. I get the fucking creeps when I'm in a goddamn bar now.
Yeah. You mean you don't do much socially?
Socially. I get the creeps when I'm in a fucking bar. You know, I get the creeps when I'm somewhere I'm not supposed to be for that long, like a comedy club. I got to get the fuck out of there. Unless I'm with some good comics hanging out that I'm friends with, I'm usually not. So I gotta get the fuck out of there. You know, it's just but the George thing really fucking destroyed me yesterday. I don't know why. I missed those relationships. Like Mike Runny didn't show last week, but he's coming to DC.
Okay.
I'm telling Obama's wife to shave that monkey. Papa's coming to DC. Fucking
You might August. Not come back.
They might throw me in fucking jail. August 20 something. I'm going to the DC improv and I'm fucking excited. But now that Mike's going, he's gonna spend the night in the hotel with me. He's bringing his wife. I'm really fucking excited about that. I know I can get some good Chinese food in D.C. Speaking of which, man, you know, we talk about Anna and you and I. We talk about working out and everything. When I first got into the working out thing, what a boxer, cocksucker. When I first got into the working out thing, I was about 418 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
And I would walk around the neighborhood every morning. When Terry would, I started walking Terry to the train.
Yeah.
And I would walk to Highland and cut down to Selma and walk to my house. About a mile. And trust me, in those days, that was a lot. So I did that for 2 weeks. And then after I did that, that started like in November of 2009, I guess. 2008, I guess. 2007.
Okay.
When I got off the blow, that was my thing to start. And then after 2 or 3 weeks of that, I started going to a boxing gym and walking. So I would do my walk 5 days a week, plus I would go to the boxing gym 1 day a week. Then I would go 2 days a week. Then I incorporated swimming. So I would swim twice a week. So I would walk 5 days a week, I would box 2 days a week, and I would swim 2 days a week. And I got on the scale one day, and I gained like 2 pounds.
Really?
So I got pissed. I said, that's it. I got to figure something out. So I kept walking. I kept boxing. I went a little longer. I had McAfoley break down some techniques with me, hit the bag for, you know, to teach me to burn all this shit. And that time, I worked, man. It felt like I was working. That's when I used to wear 2 pair of underwears, and I'd pee my pants if I couldn't breathe. And I'd work and work and work. And that time, I dropped like fucking 9 pounds. But I was still drinking Cokes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I cut down on the breakfasts, and I cut down on dinner after 7. And I didn't feel like I lost enough weight to justify that. And in that process, I went to the doctor, the same doctor I went to yesterday.
Okay.
And he's a great guy. His name is Dr. Soleimani. He's just a dynamite guy. And he said to me, you're a good guy. You should consider losing weight. Maybe you should do one of the surgeries. And that really lit a firecracker up my ass. I went home and I said, fuck the surgeries. I'll control the diet. And then I read an article that said that you have to really control your diet. You could jump up and down for fucking hours. So last weekend I get back from fucking Philly Sunday, and I get on the scale and I'm 309 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been stuck at 309 for the last fucking 3 months.
Yeah.
I do Weight Watchers, but do I do it religiously to the metric? Not really. Am I going over 100 points a day? Not really. Am I going over 80? Not really. Ever since they changed the point system, right there.
Mm-hmm.
I keep it from 44 to 54, maybe 60. But I may be doing something wrong. Like, I may be, like, eating peanut butter at night when I get in, or not enough fruit. And I'm just stuck there.
Yeah.
And I was a little down on myself. I came back from Philly. I saw some pictures. And I was like, you know what? I got to kick this up a notch.
Pictures are the worst when you're big. Because, like, even if you feel like you're looking good, you're like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. And I saw some pictures. And I go, wow, I got to figure something out. And I got an email, very interesting email about, and he said something very interesting in the email that I noticed that everybody else overlooked.
Mm-hmm.
He said that, hey, man, I'm not here to bust your balls or disrespect you. I know that, you know, you like the points and blah, 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 but what are they doing for you? You know, he goes, I could tell, blah, blah, blah. And he goes, I'm just writing out to you because I don't want another one of my favorite fucking people to die. He goes, nobody even mentioned how big Gandolfini was after his death.
Oh, is he huge?
Oh, he was huge, Gandolfini, when he died.
Oh, okay.
You know, they're waiting for the autopsy right now. I don't mean to talk about dead people, but they said the night he died, he ate like fucking 19 shrimp cocktails or fried food or whatever. And I knew from different people that I had spoken to that he was a big eater. You have to take care of yourself. And maybe he didn't exercise or whatever. So I'm exercising. So what? So I'm doing shit with 309 pounds. You know, I'm going for shots on my fucking knees. I can't find fucking clothes half the time. You know, I'm having a hard time breathing in jiu-jitsu. That all comes down to my fucking weight.
Yeah.
So no matter how the fuck I cut it, I got to get back on basics. So this guy writing me this note, I wrote him a note back. And it was like on the borderline of insulting, but I understood what he was saying with it. Because that's what you need to do sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
You're not insulting somebody. You care for them. You're taking the time. And that's how he wrote it. He even said, if you don't want to reply, you want to block me on Twitter, this is my Twitter handle, I understand. And he was right, you know. I'm wasting my fucking time. I go to kickboxing at night. That shit's fucking hard.
Yeah.
That shit's fucking hard, you know. And I'm watching the kids in there, and I'm watching me at my age. And guess what, Lee? He's exactly right. He goes, you're improving your cardio, but you're building fucking muscle. And I'm getting heavier and heavier, and there's nothing wrong with that. But it's 309 pounds.
Yeah, you got to get lower it's before you start building muscle.
It's 309 pounds. I wouldn't mind going down to 220. Or 215 is the lap band the fucking answer? What was it? Because at this age, your metabolism is, you know, I walk the baby every morning. I leave here, I go home, I eat oatmeal, eat some fucking fruit, and I gotta walk around in circles with the goddamn baby. You figure you lose fucking, you know, whatever. Ah, and I tell you what, about a month ago, I went down to 301.
Mm-hmm.
Because I went to the doctor and he was like, you look a little light. And I went home and I'm like, oh, the motherfucker ain't bullshitting to me. And that's one of those weeks I did the epileptical. So I think I'm just going to do the jiu-jitsu and the epileptical for 2 months. Focus on it. There was a guy that went to Eddie's and just really, really focus on my fucking diet. That's because it really is all diet. I can't fucking believe this shit.
Yeah.
And I feel great. You know, I don't have the, I fainted Monday.
What happened?
My fucking shot in the knee. I freaking fainted.
Oh. Did you see, like, what was different?
God damn it. I got there, you know. I get there, everything's cool, everybody's hunky dory. I know the office, you know, at Marina Del Rey. And I go down there and I fucking sit down, and sure enough, Dr. Nicola comes in, who I love. And I gotta be honest with you, it was just a little prick. I just felt like a scab that somebody picked at like that. And then he goes, hold on, we got to do the second one in there. And this time they put an x-ray machine on to see where the thing is going,
oh,
to shoot behind the kneecap. And you could feel it in there, you know. And he took it out. And I was okay. I kept breathing. And all of a sudden, as I go to swing my leg around, the fucking stupid nurse, without knowing, God bless her soul, she goes, hold on, Mr. Diaz, can I wipe your leg? You have a lot of blood there. God damn it. She didn't even know. She was trying to be sweet. She didn't know. If she wouldn't have opened her fucking mouth and just wiped it, that would have been okay. And all of a sudden, bro, I went into a tailspin. And the next thing you know, my fucking, the skunk came out. When my whole body shoots a little bit of fucking sweat, I could feel that ball of sweat going down the back of my neck. And it's always over after that. It's 4 or 5 minutes. And I'll tell you what, I kept, you know, because one of the exercises that this lady gave me, you know, besides the island of fucking serenity,
mm-hmm,
was also to tell myself I was going to get through this.
Yeah.
Which is true. You're going to get through this. You'll be fine. So what if you fall? So what if you... So, that's my fucking deal. So that, once I pass out, it fucks me up for the week.
Like, how long did you pass out for?
I don't fucking know, Lee. I don't have the, what do you think, I have the fucking alarm clock?
But it's not like you woke up hours later. It's like a couple
of minutes. Nah, you pass out for like a minute and a half, but it's a minute and a half of hell. It's like being in a gay club and passing out. Everybody's kicking you with their dicks or something like that. That's what it fucking feels like. That, you know, you just wait. Everybody's watching you. You know, I know when I got out of there, I was pale as fuck. My body needed a jump start. I had to stop across the street. There was no restaurants around. I had to go get chili cheese Doritos.
Ugh.
And put like three of them in my mouth and throw the bag away. Just to, because my body just falls fucking apart. I mean, my mental, my everything. I had to get like a green tea with lemon in it or whatever.
Something has to happen to your body when you pass out. Like, because your body thinks it's going, like, isn't it like a defense mechanism? Like, it thinks something bad's going to happen, so it like completely shuts down?
I don't know. What are you bothering me for?
I don't know. You're not Dr. Diaz?
No, I don't fucking
know. You got a white shirt on? It could be a white coat. You don't know?
Nah,
no.
Dog, I just went down. You know, there's a lot of things, but that particular wasn't one of the usual pass outs. Like, she really took the anxiety pass out of it. It was less severe. I just got the beginnings of it because I could control it.
Mm-hmm.
But it still felt like shit.
Yeah, I can't feel good.
Mm-hmm. And I got to go for two more.
Ooh.
I got two more fucking Mondays of that shit. But you know what? You walk in there with a good attitude. Like, if I walk in there half beat, I got the fucking iPod on, you know, so I don't hear the rapper and I don't hear nothing. That's 60% of the fucking battle.
Yeah.
Where's the music, Lee? It's fucking Wednesday and I play no music for me. You gotta get it together, man. You're slipping. Oh, shit. Get up. It's July. You know what? College is right around the fucking corner. A lot of you motherfuckers, go to your local class and see what they're teaching this year. Let's all take a class on Tuesday nights.
Have you started that yet?
No, I haven't started yet. I'm going down there like next Thursday. I called some fucking counselor or something. But people told me not to go online. People told me to show up.
So you'll hate online.
Makes moves with all the mommies. That's where lead. The back of the club, macking holes, my crew's behind me. Mad question asking, passing, music blasting. But I just can't quit because one of these locking my fucking dick. They put him a secret, why not? Why blow up my spot? When we both got rocked. Now check it. Oh shit, Lee. Let me see you wiggle for Papa Lee. Oh shit. You haven't wiggled in a week. Come on, bunk. Oh. You gotta get up though. You're sitting there like a fucking stoots. Two fucking players.
Even when there's no video, guys, he makes me get up.
Gotta do it. You gotta fucking stretch a little. Let me see you wiggle. Oh shit. Oh shit. Look at Lee and shit. Give me the little hand like Batman over the eye. Oh shit, there you go. You didn't put gel in your hair, dude, today?
I have no hair to put gel in. I have it's short for a reason.
You didn't put no gel. A nice fucking guy gave me a picture in Philadelphia. Beautiful little fucking picture. I didn't bring it to hang it. Nice picture. He drew of me and you and a bunch of little Jewish ghosts behind you and a yarmulke with a fucking swastika on fire. Fucking tremendous. You know, it's like every Jew is like Charles Bronson. They all like vigilantes of Germans. I like it. They all remember They all remember, cocksucker. Lee Sayada had to yell at you last night. I got very upset with you.
Yeah. And it... So let's set it up. I went to San Diego this weekend for my birthday, and then I went to the comedy show. In between, there was a party that I went to. And I had some drinks, and the person I was with had some drinks. And then when I went to the comedy show, I was outside. I was a little bit tipsy, but I had 2 pounds of steak at the Palm. And I wasn't...
Pounds of steak?
Yeah, it was a pound. It was a 24-ounce ribeye. So that's a pound and a half. But the person I was with had more drinks because she wasn't driving. But the entire... Other than seeing people I wanted, the comics I wanted to see, the main reason I decided to go to the comedy show was so I could have a buffer time in between it. And we stayed for about an hour and a half. And when I left, I was totally fine. Trust me, I'm paranoid of going to jail. So I'm not going to say I've never driven drunk, because when I was younger, there was times I would make mistakes. But I went to the club for the entire purpose of not going out. Of not driving home drunk. Since I've been on the podcast, and you know, when we first started, I wanted this to be like just you, and I didn't even want a mic. But since we've been on it, I went on Twitter, and I joke around, but mostly it's just like listen to the podcast or stuff. But every once in a while, I think of a stupid joke. And I was up for like 16 hours, and when I got home from San Diego, I tweeted a stupid joke that I deleted. It said something like, I know what it's like to run a marathon because I got home from San Diego without falling asleep behind the wheel or getting a DUI. It was a joke, and some people even wrote to me and got mad, and I responded to them. I had stuff to drink that night, but I would have never taken a 2.5-hour drive home drunk. And you said some people wrote to you, and it's kind of like what the guy emailed you. You got mad at me, but it wasn't like you were mad. You spent most of the time just saying like you wouldn't want to like see me in jail or stuff like that.
In the 5 Testicle Testament albums.
Yeah.
In the fucking 200,000 hours, man, hours of podcasting or talking to you people at home, I've never mentioned the story about driving drunk.
Yeah.
You guys know, if anybody knows about somebody who doesn't give a fuck about society or life, you're looking at it right now. I don't mind a person being fucking nuts. I don't mind. I'll tolerate anything. A person who does drugs, carries a gun, da 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 da. It's when you put other people at risk.
Yeah.
Now, listen to how fucking the level I'm going to take you to. I hate when I hear about 2 kids coming home and getting killed. You know, whatever, kids, anybody. When you're in the news and you wake up in the morning, you hear about 2 people driving home from a fucking church function get killed by 2 drunk drivers.
Yeah.
You're always fearful of... I'm more fearful of them. You know, I know what I'm going to fucking do.
Yeah.
I'm more fearful of the fucking people that are out. I watch everything, Lee. When I'm in that fucking car, I watch fucking everything. That light, I'm looking at that light. The other day, I saved a little boy.
What happened?
The other day, I saved a little boy 2 blocks from my house. I saw it going down. I don't understand how, and that's why I watch everything. I don't have time to be fucked up on the streets or be whatever. I love you, Lee. I do not believe in drinking and driving. I don't believe in getting high and driving.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have weed in my fucking car.
No.
I never have weed in my fucking car. I get weed at the fucking house. I don't believe in drinking. I don't believe in anything with a cost to the point where I think I could count on my one hand when I've had an alcohol drink and, you know, done a show. Like, I'll get to a show and do it and hang out, and I won't fucking get in that car. I don't even believe on drinking at 8 o'clock and getting in the car at 11 o'clock. Because you're not a scientist and I'm not a scientist. We don't know what the legal limit anymore. But listen, you want to punch somebody in the head because they call your wife or your girlfriend a cunt? You want to fist fight somebody? Whatever you want to do, I tell you, anything is not worth going to jail for a fucking DUI. Not in today's world.
Yeah.
It is. It's like having a scarlet letter on you. It's worse than having a felony.
Yeah.
You'd rather rob somebody than have a fucking DUI. It's a year of your life. You're not going to go to jail. They're going to fine you. You're not going to be allowed to drive. You got to take classes. You got to go to AA meetings. I mean, they don't even let you have a job.
Yeah, I had a friend who was here. He got one. He moved back to Pittsburgh, but he, for some reason, I don't know, maybe it was multiple ones, But he had moved back to Pittsburgh. He had to fly back to L.A. for a weekend because they were making him do a weekend in jail.
They don't fuck around no more.
So, yeah.
They found the fucking tax. They found how to fine you. Did you not read a month ago they tried thinking of lowering the limit?
Making it lower than .08? Oh, geez.
You cannot have it on your breath.
Yeah.
You without a driver's license, tell me what are we going to do? I got to pick you up to do everything.
Yeah.
It's 90 days minimum, right? 6 months, you lose your life.
It has to be.
Can you imagine you got to go to Santa Monica by bus?
It wouldn't happen.
It wouldn't happen. You'd have to pack up and go home. So that's why. I know you're falling in love, and I know it's beautiful. You're running through the grass right now. You can't drink and drive. Can't even have alcohol in your breath in this society.
Yeah.
She's the one that needs to get drunk to loosen her up. You're already loose. She's a flying fucking Jew. No more drinking and driving.
No, yeah. And the funny thing is, for people who know me, I don't drink ever. That bottle of tequila we had, a shot, like a half a shot 2 weeks ago, I've had in that freezer for about 7 months. I never drink.
Now, I know for a fact that alcohol doesn't affect me because I don't let it affect me.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I'm saying? When I was a kid, it never affected me.
You have a higher tolerance?
Just, I grew up in a bar.
Yeah.
I could do 2 shots of death and nothing that even happens to me. It's the weirdest thing. I probably do have a high tolerance to alcohol because it was in my system as a young kid. And I still don't mess with it. Every night I go out, I want to drink. Do you know that?
Yeah.
Every night I go out, I look at the bar and I go, wow. The other day I flew on Virgin America and they give you free drinks. If they would have had Kahlua, I would have made a White Russian with a fucking nutty taste to it, with whatever. Not Emmett's, but Bailey's.
Yeah.
I love Bailey's. I could drink Bailey's on rocks, shit, with a cigarette, stop it. I'll be walking around like Sinatra and shit. Nobody even know what he's drinking. Don't worry about what I'm
drinking. Bailey's on the rocks.
But you put a little milk, a little fucking vodka in there, a little Kahlua, shit. You got yourself a high powder, or take the Kahlua out and put a little Coke in there, a little cowboy White Russian. You never had one of those?
I've had White Russians. I've never had one.
Two fingers of Coca-Cola in that motherfucker. You get back to me.
Oh,
it's
called
a Colorado fucking cowboy or something like that.
I thought you meant like cocaine Coke. Mm. I was like, what are you talking about?
That's a complete different cocktail. You know what I'm saying? That's when you get Anisette and mix it with Zambuca and throw a little fucking cocaine on it and throw the fucking Jewish snowball. What the fuck do you think you're dealing with? Some novice.
Joey Bananas.
That's what me and Lubes. It's funny that you told me yesterday to call Lubes. A lot of people don't know this is the 100th episode here. And we didn't know who we were going to get as a guest. And we decided, fuck the guest. It's just me and Lee. This is how we started old school. First time I did blow, me and Lubes were sophomores in high school.
Yeah.
I was October of 79. Me and Lil Lubes went and bought a bottle of peppermint schnapps, which is fucking disgusting.
Yeah.
Vodka and something else. But we also bought a bag of shaved ice. And we took cups and filled them with the ice and packed them with the ice. Packed them. We put 3 ounces of fucking vodka in there and like 2 fingers of fucking peppermint schnapps.
Yeah.
And we sprinkled it with cocaine and put it in the freezer. That was our big thing when we were sophomores. And we did a couple of lines and we drank the peppermint schnapps and got a little fucked up.
That's crazy.
How fucking crazy is that, Lee?
Disgusting. You made like an alcoholic cocaine snow cone.
And it don't do nothing to you. No, it does nothing to you. Who the fuck are you kidding? Nothing at all. It's a waste of cocaine and it's a waste of peppermint schnapps. You know what I'm saying?
Jesus Christ.
Lee Boom Boom Sayad. A year ago we sat down. You know, I love the doing Beauty and the Beast.
Mm-hmm.
I really liked getting together with Felicia.
You were still doing it when we started.
But I also knew that after 8 or 9 months, we were only going to grow that much.
Mm-hmm.
I just knew it. You know, I didn't know anything about the iTunes charts. I never looked at none of that stuff. That stuff didn't matter to me. I just knew that the podcast could grow so much. You know, Felicia had her boundaries. I don't have any fucking boundaries. You know, I have no fucking boundaries. And that's why I wanted to take this to the next level. So I'm very happy you got together with me to do the church. Because it's a fucking expression. It's freedom. You know what I'm saying? It's like George Michael's fucking freedom. You just, this is a breath of fresh air to do this.
Yeah, we started it last September, I think. So it's been about 10
August,
months.
August, probably, right?
August, September, right around there. And it's been about 10 months. And I know, I mean, I always wanted you to do it. Just because I knew, like, you always like doing morning stuff. And you always go off and tell crazy stories. But, like, for me, I never imagine, like, if you had asked me 1,000, like, name 1,000 jobs you'd have, I would never have said doing a podcast. So it's been a crazy 8, 9, 10 months.
It's funny. You started at first and you didn't want a microphone. But I couldn't sit here and talk by myself for a fucking hour. I could not do that, Lee. I needed somebody to bounce ideas off of and shit. So I'm happy that you're... I remember the first time I asked you a question and your face turned so fucking red. I was like, God damn. But I'm happy. I'm happy you're my friend. I'm happy we're putting this shit together every fucking day, Lee. And again, it's... you were looking at me when I was talking about George before. It's very rare, guys. Half of you people who listen to the podcast at 33, 32, and you're probably hanging with people at work or whatever, and you probably talk to one person or two from high school at 33, and it gets weird at 33. You're still not ready for your 20-year anniversary and everything. It gets really weird. When I pulled out of the car at the coffee shop and I went to see George, he wasn't the George I had left. He had white hair now.
Oh, really?
Well, who the fuck are you kidding? I got white hair now, you know? All of my friends got white hair, but it's just amazing that he was sitting there, and I could feel the heat from his vision looking at me and the baby, and I could feel what he was thinking. He was thinking about 30 years ago.
Yeah.
He was thinking about the same thing I thought about Friday night when I was with Steve Ronnie and those guys, and I'm looking at this kid that I know where he used to hide his coke. And 30 years ago, and now we're sitting there at a table looking at his grandchildren.
He has grandchildren now?
Yeah, wow. Steve Runney's got grandchildren.
Steve, okay.
You know, in Philadelphia. I mean, he had two daughters with him, and they each have kids. So he's a grandfather at my age, you know? It's just, it's really something. You ask yourself where life goes. Life fucking moves, guys. Life fucking moves. Life, you know, we're talking about the other day being 25. That, for me, I remember still starting stand-up. Like, when I started stand-up, Lee, I had tried everything one fucking time.
Yeah.
And I knew if I got into stand-up that I had to sink my fucking heart and soul into this motherfucker. I'm like, I gotta sink my fucking heart and soul into this. And that's what I did. Listen to my stomach. I only had fruit.
Oh, that was your stomach? I thought someone was walking by or something.
No, that was my stomach, and that was cornflakes. I had fruit and cornflakes for breakfast. I had a little bowl of cornflakes and a handful of strawberries and blueberries with the antioxidants or whatever the fuck
it is. And Mrs. Eggs and Bacon.
For you people, yesterday, Comedy Central released Ari's thing, and it looks really sharp. I can only look at it for 3 minutes. I saw my fat fucking stomach and my fat fucking neck, and I couldn't watch the rest of it. But that is one of the craziest, you know, and a couple people attacked me online yesterday, and I'm lying, whatever, about the heroin. Let me tell you something, man. I never wanted to do heroin. Heroin was the first time I think I passed out, but I was awake.
Mm-hmm.
It was like being drunk, but you're awake. And the next day, that night, when I got home, I thought of what I had just gone through, and I kept thinking about a nun. You know, I kept thinking about a nun. And then I kept thinking about wherever I was, I saw the Virgin Mary dancing. You can't, you know, and I remember what the Virgin Mary was wearing. Like, I still remember, and I don't know if she was a Virgin Mary. I don't know if I called her the Virgin Mary in my mind. You know, one thing I still remember that the scene the next day on the heroin. What I liked about doing heroin was the warmth.
Mm-hmm.
Like this close to God, when you're high, you feel like you're warm, but it didn't matter. I was on this guy's couch, but it felt like I was next to the sun.
Okay.
It's the weirdest things. I did blow so much that I don't have a memory. I smoke so much pot, I don't have a memory of smoking pot. I don't know what happens to me when I smoke pot. When I eat pills, I know I pass the fuck out. But the handful of times I did heroin, I always had a different experience. But that one time at Gunter Brown's house was the time that I thought that I understood why, in the back of my mind, I understood why God put heroin on this planet.
Yeah.
Like, I left, that heroin experience made me real warm on heroin. Like, I was like, I gotta do this again, but I can't.
Yeah.
Even at that age, I knew I wanted to do it again, but I can't. And if you're home listening to this, I'm not advocating it by no means. And I know half of you have done heroin one time, or you tried it, or you're still on it, or whatever. Get the fuck off that shit. But, well, not really. Do it one or two more times. And then get the fuck off it. Well, somebody said to me, you did the wrong thing. You shouldn't be tripping. When I said the story, I didn't describe it right, like I usually do most of my things. I should have talked about how when I went home that night and reflected on what happened to me. You know, Lee, I really loved my godmother growing up. I loved women when I grew up. Mm-hmm. When I was growing up. My mother had good, solid women friends. And that night I saw every one of them. But the weirdest thing that I saw was I saw a nurse that night. Like when I got back to the Bender's house where I was living, I went in the living room that night and I drank a bunch of, and I was still fucked up. Don't get me wrong. That shit fucked me up until I woke up the next morning. But for that piece, I was thinking about the woman who delivered me at the hospital. Who fucking thinks of that shit? Who remembers that woman? I didn't remember her. But for some reason, I remembered every woman. I remembered Mrs. Sabatino, who was my lunch lady and for years. And she'd always wink at me and give me an extra lunch because she knew I liked the sandwiches. I'd give the apple to her son. You know, she had a younger son, so I'd give him the milk and the apple. And I keep the fucking salami terrible sandwich, the Oscar Mayer.
Now, had your mom passed away when you did this or no?
When I did the heroin?
Yeah.
She had passed. She had been gone maybe 14 months. And I was just an emotional mess. And like I always tell people, at that time right there, I could have been talked into suicide. Up to the time I was 17,
mm-hmm.
I could have been talked into suicide. And then Ozzy put that album out, and it had the suicide solution. And I thought about it. At that time, I was mind strong. I never thought of suicide. But you could have talked me into suicide.
Yeah.
Because I missed my mother so much. The pain was so bad that I wish I could just go to sleep and meet her at that time. But I didn't have the balls to do it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I've discussed this before. It was terrible. Like, I would never think of suicide, but I would have jumped from that thing over just to fall and wouldn't have called it suicide. You would have gone, no. He didn't commit suicide. He went to jump and missed a roof.
Oh.
I would have done something like that, so it would have looked like suicide. I just didn't have the balls to do it.
Yeah.
And that night when I did the heroin, when I woke up, like the next day, I felt really guilty because I never wanted to do heroin. It had crossed me into a different threshold of life.
Yeah.
That's it. That you can't return from. Once you're a virgin and they shove a dick up your pussy, you can't return from that. You're not a virgin no more. I don't care whether you bleed, whether you don't bleed, whether he didn't come in you, whether you didn't come. Once that dick goes in there and breaks that fucking skin and blood comes out, you can't re-fucking sew that motherfucker. It's over for you.
Yeah.
And that's what I did that night by doing that. You crossed certain lines. When I did cocaine, that was a big, disgusting part of my life because in the back of my mind, I was never going to do cocaine. I was going to smoke pot and I would have done acid. When I first did acid, it didn't bother me at all.
Why the distinction? Because your mom did it, maybe?
No, I just knew that a lot of kinky things had been done with acid.
Okay.
At that time, I had already known with people. Oh, my God, in 1952, the government, when you do acid, you know there's something to this.
Yeah.
Over any fucking drug. You know when you do a blotter acid and it's good acid or you eat good mushrooms that you got something from it. I'm not a big mushroom guy. I never was. I never ate mushrooms till later on in Colorado and they gave me diarrhea. But good fucking acid,
yeah.
I'm on it because I know I'm going to get a lesson out of it. It's 9 hours of a constant pounding that I'm going to get the answer. I'm going to get the answer to the fucking questions I need out of life. I'm going to get them that night.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to have a pen. I'm not going to remember them. It's like remembering a joke before you go to fucking sleep.
Yeah.
That's what it's like. You know what I'm saying? It's like thinking of a joke and going, I remember it in the morning, and waking up the next morning and going, I don't remember fucking shit.
Yeah.
That's what it's like when you go on an acid trip. And at that time, I wanted the answers to why God had taken my mother. I wanted what every other young man wanted. I wanted love. I wanted a girlfriend. I wanted the answers to come to me. And I couldn't get the answers, so I kept doing the acid. And any time I had a brain fart at that age,
mm-hmm.
at 17 or 18, I would do a hit of acid because I really had nobody to ask.
Yeah.
I had nobody to ask questions to, so I really had a...
And you're doing a lot then. You were like, because you said you were going, you go up to Pennsylvania and buy it and like sell it?
I was doing acid every fucking day.
Jesus.
There was a point in my life when I was a sophomore and a junior in those early years. During the week, I would do acid, and then some nights I would just do blow. But I was always doing something. The pain was so bad that some nights I just did the acid and some nights I just did the fucking blow. It was just awful.
Jesus.
You know, and some nights I did it together, which is awful. You know? And it's so funny how this guy who was fucking breaking my balls on Twitter yesterday. You know, I remember one night doing blow and hallucinating. Like, I did acid. In 89, I fucking took a furlough from the halfway house when they were allowed to get furloughs,
mm-hmm.
and I went to my in-laws and they put me in a trailer. They had a trailer on the property,
mm-hmm.
and I told them, I go, you know what, I'm going to have a furlough. I can't watch TV in the house. And they're like, why don't you stay in the trailer? And I go, that's a great idea. I knew they were going to say that. They had like cable out there and you could stay up all night. My plan was to do blow out there all night.
Oh, okay.
And I brought home like a six pack of Coors. And I brought home like a quarter ounce of this Coke, boy. And after the first fucking gram of Coke, I started fucking hallucinating out there. It was hard. You don't hallucinate on cocaine. But I had done so much, I think. I was up so long. The speed in it made me fucking hallucinate. I don't know what it was. I kept seeing guys dressed in white with machine guns, those snow guys. You ever see the movie?
The James Bond movie?
Fighter. Yeah, well, some of James Bond, the early ones, but Fighter. It's got fucking Marky Wahlberg.
Shooter.
Yeah. At the end when he goes to the mountain.
I know the movie. I've seen it.
Never seen it either? What the fuck?
Shooter? Who cares about Shooter? I understand.
It's always on TNT. It's not that you care about Shooter. It's that it's always on TNT, and eventually you go, let me watch 10 minutes of it. Did you watch Silence of the Lambs yet?
It's this weekend.
You know how many fucking people have complimented me on that choice right there? And if you don't watch the movie, and you don't have any money, that's no reason to. You can still go to the library and get it for fucking free.
Yeah. No, I'll watch it. I have to watch The Conjuring this weekend, too, which I'm dreading.
The what?
The Conjuring, a fucking horror movie.
What's that for?
The girl wants to see it.
The girl ain't getting it. You gotta watch Silence of the Lambs first. Forget The Conjuring.
No, I'll watch it this weekend.
Get it together, cocksucker, the girl. You hitting my stomach? Let me give some shout out. Let me give a shout out to, like I said, we've had a lot of people that support the podcast and love us, and we love them. My man Jordan Lee, my man JR down there in Arizona with his shirts helping us out. Gus, Right for Dusk, The Girl, Wonder, and Danny Pizzini. I love you motherfuckers always, you know what I'm saying?
Thank you guys.
And let me tell you something else. I really like that fucking thing from On It. That's why I think I couldn't wake up this morning.
The Night and Day Pack?
Yeah, I really like that. That's easy as shit. Go to fucking onit.com. Go to the box, press in church. Here's what you got to try. Try those fucking pack things that I had the other day. I didn't bring it with me today. I don't know that, but it's got a little bit of everything in there. Like the daytime pack has the Alpha Brain. It's got the Strong Bone in there. The nighttime pack has the New Mood and the Shroom Tech Immune, so you sleep and you recover. It's a great fucking deal. I think they got some money off on it. Plus, you get a discount from me, Uncle Joey. Go take that pack, the pack thing. It's like I don't even know how many packs. It's a 15-day supply.
Okay.
Give it a fucking shot. If not, I'll tell you what. Again, last night, guys, like I told this guy, yeah, my cardio's improving. I don't think so. I think it was that fucking Shroom Tech, because I made some. I did 3 or 4 Shroom Techs last night, 45 minutes before that class, boy. And I was in tip top shape when I left there last night. I feel a little sore this morning, but I'm all right. I'm going to jiu-jitsu tonight at 9 o'clock. So,
oh like a shit, fucking
savage, yeah. I got a big day tonight, Lee.
So it's perfect, dude. A 15-day pack.
It's a 15-day pack. You got a night, a day supply, which you take after breakfast.
Yeah.
And a night before you get home, you take like an hour or two before you go to fucking sleep, guys. This is a great deal because you get to sample everything that they order. So instead of paying $24.95 and getting a container of one, you sample everything. You see how they mix and match and how they work. Give it a shot. Go to onit.com. Uncle Joey wouldn't bullshit you. I'm telling you right now. We're going to do this fucking thing together. I want to get down to 225, Lee. I got to do it. I love to drop fucking 80 pounds. Going to be on. I could do it with Weight Watchers. Or this guy who sent me the note, I answered back to him. He says he's got some super diet that he's been on for 5 fucking years.
Nice.
Let's see if he's telling me the truth, cocksucker.
And when you're on the 15-day pack, you should just sign up and do the 2 weeks of Hulu Plus. Like we've been telling you, you can do it on your TV if it's connected to the internet. You can do it on your computer. You can do it on all the major gaming systems. You can do it on your phone. And they have hundreds of shows that are available the day after they go on. After they go on, like a lot of the NBC shows are on there. A lot of the CBS shows are on there. I always like Family Guy and The Daily Show. I like goofy stuff, even though Jon Stewart's not on it right now.
How come Jon Stewart's not on it right now?
He's directing a movie in like Saudi Arabia or like somewhere weird.
Come on.
Yeah, it's actually an interesting story. Like, he went to, they interviewed a guy who, like, a journalist in Iran or something, like, one of those countries, and his country arrested him for it. So they're filming a movie based on that. So they have John Oliver hosting for the summer. But you get an extended free trial right now. Go to huluplus.com/Joey, go to joeydiaz.net, and there's the banner right there. It's 2 weeks for free. After that, you can cancel if you don't want it. But who for $7.99, I don't know who wouldn't want it. Well, I mean, I know. I use it every day. Joey and his wife uses it every day. And I've gotten a bunch of people saying thank you. So
we got new codes?
Yeah.
Our girl Miranda sent this new fucking code. So listen, cut the shit. Cut the shit. This is the church of what's happening now. You know, it's funny how this guy also mentioned, well, you got to push the honor. Let me tell you something. I don't push something unless I believe 100% in it. I get offers to fucking push shit every day that I don't want to push at all. I don't want to put this on your podcast. I don't. I'd rather do a podcast without anything. But you know what? Everybody needs to make a living. And everybody needs a good fucking deal from time to time, whether it's on it or whether it's Hulu Plus. I'm telling you, go to Hulu Plus. Put in the code name Joey in the box, big letter. It doesn't fucking matter. Just put fucking Joey in there. You get 2 weeks for free. Give him the credit card. Who gives a fuck? What do you got on your credit card? $48 in the bank. You're sweating the fucking. You wrote a check at a Chinese restaurant. Relax. Give him the fucking credit card. $7.99 a month after that. Again, $7.99. That little grande, half a fag drink you get, that's $4.50 plus the fucking tip unless you're a Puerto Rican. Two of those is fucking Hulu Plus for 1 month. Come at me and say, Joey, it's a scam. Why? I'm not pushing nothing. I'm giving you a fucking deal because you listen to the podcast. You support us. You help Lee out. This helps Lee get to fucking have his little date and he goes to Hulu Plus parties and jumps up and down. And if he keeps drinking and driving, who's going to pay for that fucking attorney? So get your shit together. Go to Hulu Plus, press in Joey, get 2 free weeks, and if you like it, it's $7.99. You wipe your ass with fucking $8. As far as on it, you're trying to get healthy. Everybody wants the new shit to get involved. It's fucking on it. It's not anything else. It's not men's one a day. That's been around since Jesus left fucking Chicago. I think Abe Lincoln took a one a day. What did it get him? Nowhere. Go to fuckingonit.com, and that's it. You get me all fired fucking up, Lee, you know what I'm saying?
I'm sorry.
We've been doing this for a long fucking time. I like it, Lee. I like you people. You know, I'm sick and tired of you people coming up to me at shows and looking me in the eye. It's very sweet and going, you inspire me. You know what, motherfuckers? You guys inspire me, all right? You guys make me get up in the morning. You guys make me come here and talk shit. The other day, some guy says to me, you talk too much crime stuff on there. I want you people to know that before I was a fucking comic, I was a piece of shit that had nothing. You stick with it. You get up in the morning, you brush your fucking teeth, and you put in your back of your mind you want to fucking do something. If you don't want to do it for you, do it for the fucking people around you. Do it for the people who fucking care about you so they can be proud. So your sister could say, my brother's a fucking loser. He sits on the couch all day and watches fucking Hulu, and he watches the Comedy Central and the whole fucking thing. Well, things change one day. You get up, you put your fucking pair of balls in there, and you go out there and you tell the world to suck your dick, and shit might happen for you. You know what I'm saying? Who the fuck am I talking about?
It's going to happen.
I talk about doing ass. I talk about doing all this shit. And then on the other hand, I got the Christmas Day fucking movie coming out. How the fuck does that happen? Because I stuck with something.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Not because I'm better than anybody, dog. Not by no means. I got a hole in my fucking left sock right now. Who am I fucking better than? I'm not better. I don't give a fuck. I'm just telling you that this you laugh. When you sit there and you look at these people who you stand next to, you're like, these motherfuckers don't know. I robbed a Carvel at fucking with nunchucks. You know what I'm saying? I robbed a Carvel with nunchucks and they're standing next to me like I'm some fucking actor with a suit on. Get the fuck out of here. We all put our pants on. Get the fuck out there and tell these motherfuckers what your dream is. Get out there today, motherfuckers.
I just had this image of you in a karate suit with nunchucks breaking no
crap. Breaking motherfuckers up. You walk into a liquor store with a pair of nunchucks on, throwing a star at the wall. They'll give you peppermint schnapps, Zambuca. They'll give you electronic cigarettes, whatever the fuck you want.
When you rob a Carvel, do you take a cake too, just on principle?
Just on principle. I take a bunch of those hats. One of those hats that they used to put the sundae in?
No. What hats?
He doesn't eat ass. He doesn't.
Trust me, I eat ice cream.
Do they have Carvel in Boston?
Yeah.
Okay. For 30,000 fucking years, once baseball season came.
Oh, the baseball helmets. Baseball okay.
How many did you have?
A couple at the stadium. They're always the most.
But they won't give you your hat in your area. Do you follow me? So if you're from Boston, they'll give you like a Yankee hat to really burn you up. And they'll giggle too. Like, I want a Boston Red Sox hat. We ain't got none. We got the Yankees and the Orioles. Take your pick. You're like, God damn it. I got to fucking get an Oriole fucking hat. And then you take the Oriole hat and you go home and somebody sees you. Like one of your Goombas see you. What the fuck? Then all of a sudden you go out some night and your friend's like, dog, tell him. You got an Oreo hat for fucking ice cream? What the fuck? No, I didn't get an Oreo hat. This is what happened. I went down there. I wanted some fucking ice cream. And that's all they had, all right? Then you go the next time. They give you like a Mariner fucking hat or something. Which who gives a fuck about just the manners about these Chichiro Suzuki? Yeah, they don't give you like where you live. So they would take all the Boston ones, and Mr. Carvel would look at them and go, let's send the Boston ones to Bronx. And let's send the Yankee ones to Boston to really get them fired up. And we'll sprinkle the Baltimore ones everywhere. And we'll give them some Toronto ones, too, to really fuck their world up.
You know, Ichiro plays for the Yankees now?
I know that. That's why I said, who gives a fuck about Seattle? Ichiro's not there no more.
Oh, okay.
And he's doing good with the Yankees. I have not watched the Yankees this year at all.
I haven't watched the
Red Sox. I don't even watch baseball. I don't give a fuck. It wasn't it the All-Star game?
Yeah.
A lot of suspensions. You?
Oh, this guy just got...
this guy, people hate this fucking guy.
Well, because he denied it. He lied. Last year, he won the MVP, and he had a failed drug test, but he got off on it because the courier, didn't take it right to the lab. Like, he had it overnight when he shouldn't have, so he got off on a technicality. And then they kept investigating, and there's this doctor, I think in Miami, who has, like, a list of all the players he gave drugs to. And I don't think it's even come out yet. Like, I don't even know if he had another failed drug test, but I think his name was associated with it. So yesterday, they just suspended him for the whole season. And he was like, he basically admitted to it. He said, yeah, I made some mistakes. And, I mean, Manny's back playing for the Rangers, so fucking, they don't care.
Now, are they really going to suspend a bunch of people for the rest of the year? Is that true?
A-Rod is supposed to be on the list, too, but he hasn't played this year because he's fucking just hurt or just... accepting the check or whatever, but yeah, I heard A-Rod's on the list, and they're trying to take a harder stance, but not really, because players can come back and still make millions of dollars. So it's like, either I think they should just say, yeah, take whatever you want, or just don't tell it, don't ask, don't tell, because they don't really care. They care when it happens, but like they come back and
you're a real family.
I love sports, but baseball. I love the Red Sox, but I can't. Unless I'm at the stadium, it's kind of like you. Like when you say you can't sit down and watch a game, I can't sit down and watch a game on TV at baseball. It takes 4 hours, and it's one to nothing. Or like there's games every year that I like are like 18 innings, and people are there until 3 a.m.
But you're a fan. Does this insult you that these players are doing this as a
fan? No,
you don't give a fuck.
Maybe I'm too young or something.
Do you think it ruins the game, or do you think it enhances it?
I think if one or two people were doing it, I think at this point. Everyone's doing it, and if they're not doing it illegally, they're taking so many supplements that it's changed so much from the time when they weren't. Because, like, when Babe Ruth or any of those old guys, they didn't have the supplements or the working out technology. So, I mean, if Babe Ruth was going to play against the people who aren't using steroids now, he'd probably lose. Like, his teams would probably lose. Maybe not an all-star team. But it's changed so much. I honestly, if they want to do it, it doesn't affect me. I know there's purists who disagree, and I'm not really that like sold on my stance. But it really doesn't like you always said. What does this change the price of eggs? It doesn't matter to me if Barry Bonds did steroids. Yeah, he probably did. His head's fucking huge, and he has a really high voice. He's a weird guy, but he hit 80 home runs in a year or something. Like it's fun to watch. It's entertainment. It's not like a. Like, it's entertainment. Like, I don't really care.
It breaks my heart that I'm jaded at sports. But it's like, something happened last week in this country that really fucked up the country. You know, the whole Trayvon Martin. I won't address it. I won't address it because you can never be right and you can never be wrong on what you say or something like that.
Yeah.
But I knew from the beginning that this wasn't going to be right. And my wife, I listen to everything she says because, A... That's her life. That's what she does. She reads. She reads the newspaper. Mm-hmm. She told me before the trial started he was going to get acquitted.
Oh, you think? Oh, wow.
Well, she told me right from day one. And that's the same way I feel about sports sometimes. Like, I already know it's fucked up. What do you want me to do to be a part of this? Or what? It's just some things you accept in life, and it's fucking sad.
Yeah.
That's always made me fucking sad, you know? I also got a lot of emails this week or yesterday about the cat story. About the cat, Superbad, who mm-hmm. I love dearly. I think Superbad knows. You know, Superbad, I fucking hated Superbad when he was outside. I really didn't like him as a cat.
Yeah.
And I did a movie with Jimmy Schubert one time, and there was a guy in the movie who was a cat vet, like a specialist on cat. And we were talking, and he goes, what people don't really know about cats is that they're very grateful. They're very grateful. Like, they don't forget fucking anything. They're very grateful. They're very thankful. And I think that when I saved him, he became a little tighter with me. Like, he's tighter with me. I see his pupils getting dilated in the afternoon now, and he meows by himself. And he rolls on the couch. And I might have the baby in the morning watching SpongeBob, and I'm watching him do this. We've gotten tighter. But it wasn't about the cat as much as it was about the promise. And I got to tell you something. I look at the good people in my life, and I look at the people who are mediocre in my life, and for personal reasons, for the pain he caused in my mother's life, I hate my stepfather for the pain he caused in my life with the money and all that shit. But he did so many good things because it made me who I was today.
Yeah.
But one of the things that he instilled in me as a child, because he grew up with it, was the promise. The gift of the promise. Something that, you know, we've forgotten finger banging in this country. We also forgot the promise. What a promise means. You know, what it means, not to people in our lives, when we make a promise to ourselves. In Cuba, they have a thing that when your knees are going or you have arthritis, you dress in purple for a year to give light to the saint, San Lazaro. And I had a big 6-foot statue of it in my house growing up. A lot of people, till the end, I always thought it was a burglar in my house. Think of having a 6-foot statue of a saint in your house, and he's the saint that has the dogs licking his wounds. He was a leper.
Yeah.
And he has whatever you call those things, you know, when you can't walk.
Crutches.
Crutches. And I know a lot of people in Cuba that used to make promises to him, and they said if you make a promise to San Lazaro that you'll dress in purple 3 days a week or whatever, you'll heal. Mm-hmm. You know, but just a promise. I thought about the story yesterday. I go, what a dumb story I told. You know, you're always overcritical of yourself. And then I thought about what the story was about. It was a promise, something that you never thought a guy like me would believe in.
Yeah.
A promise is big, man. You have problems in your life, you know, whatever. Make yourself a promise. You don't owe nothing to nobody in this life, just to your fucking self.
Yeah.
You really do. And I can't believe that my life changed so much by that fucking promise, Lee. I got a wife now. I'm clean. I have you in my life. We have a podcast together. We've done documentaries. We've done CDs. We've done Tensible Testaments. I did more things in the 6 years I was off cocaine than the 12 previously that I was doing comedy. Yeah, I did movies and all this stuff. But I tapped into myself, which is what we thrive for in this life, to tap into ourselves, what we're really about. I got that at 50, you know?
Yeah,
I got blessed by that at 50 to get tapped into myself because I saw my daughter. I had a daughter once before, and we had our problems, and life goes on. But I got a second chance, and I look at this daughter's face, and that's what my face looked like before I start this whole thing, you know, called life. You get the wrinkles, and you get your fucking depressed. And so it's really weird, man, what I learned from this promise that I made. It all started with a promise about a stupid, dirty fucking cat. That I swore I would never do blow again because the cat would die. And I stuck to a stupid promise. No rehab, no fucking meetings, and whatever works for you. But you know what? Before you start your day off from now on, start it with a promise. Just start it with a promise. Today I'm not going to do this. Today I'm not going to. You don't have to promise it to your mother or your father or your sister or your brother or your wife. Make the promise to yourself because that's who I think you let down the most, you know? And that's what's made this podcast successful, that we've stuck to the promise. We fucking do it on Mondays and Wednesdays, and we fucking do it. So thank you. You guys inspire me more than I think I inspire you guys. Don't even fucking know it. Thank you for coming to the shows, and thank you for supporting Hulu and myself and Lee. It's been a great year with you cocksuckers. Don't forget, this weekend, one of the best shows you'll see, not for me, for Domino. I can't even wait. I'm taking notes because I haven't worked with Domino in a long time to see him do a 45-minute set. This is going to be an education. So if you really like comedy, you're going to see a fucking hack and a fucking master this weekend. So please, at the Ice House, 8 o'clock and 10 o'clock, Friday and Saturday, 626-577-1894. The following Wednesday, right, Lee?
Yeah.
We're at the Ice House again doing a live podcast with a tremendous special fucking guest. Tremendous. $10 Wednesday night. What else are you going to do? What are you going to stay and watch Dancing with the fucking Fags? Come on down. fucking jerk offs.
It's a completely different show.
Dancing with Fags. You dance till a fag plugs you in the fucking goulash.
I just have this image from the it's either you or the priest when you talk about them flying down and sticking when you're doing yoga. You have this image of them flying above a dance floor or something. I don't know.
Well, you're slipping, cocksucker. You better get it together. No more drinking and driving. I find
oh, I would never do that.
Fucking break your head, cocksucker. No drinking and driving for no church members. You want to drink? Put the keys away. That's all I have. You want to smoke dope? Put the fucking keys away. You can talk. One thing I love about Bert Kreischer, call him what you want. That motherfucker takes a town car to the ice house. He pays the $120 so he can drink.
Yeah.
He understands. You have to know these things. You know what? Don't do it. If you even taste the alcohol, put the keys down. Because, like I told Lee, if they pull you over and they smell you, and even if they smell, did you have something to drink tonight? Yes, officer, I drank a beer. Turn the ignition off and get out of the car.
Yeah.
But if you lie to him and he smells your fucking breath, you're going to have the same problem. You know how you handle that? Don't drink.
Yeah.
Take a fucking edible, a 10 strength, go out there and fucking swerve. No. You know, listen, it's not about, it's you know, it kills me how people live their life and they don't care for the people outside of them. When you're drinking and driving at night, you got to care for the people. When you're driving at night, you got to care more about the people who are driving than yourself, because that's how you get whacked. Nothing breaks my heart more than to wake up in the morning and see a family that went out for ice cream.
Yeah.
Get hit by a drunk driver. Not, and you look at the car and it's total. And this guy was probably stationary. It's like the harder the ball comes in,
yeah,
the harder it goes out. People don't know that. If I throw a ball at you 20 miles an hour when you hit it, it might hit, you know, the outfield. But if I throw a 90 fucking miler at you and you fucking clock that motherfucker, that's why Canseco. You gotta hit those real heavy balls. It's the same thing with a fucking car. So please, don't drink and drive, guys, all right? You're hearing that from your Uncle Joey. What do you got for me, Lee? Tell me something, guys.
No, it's just people have been writing to me for a while, like, oh, 100's coming up, and it's been a crazy ride. I would have never thought I wanted to do it. I never would have thought I'd, like, if anyone, like, I think if anyone else had asked me, I would have said no. But, like, we've been working together for, like, 2 years when this started, so it was weird, and I'm used to the internet being a place of just assholes. Like, because that's, if you go to, like, any YouTube video, 97% of the comments are negative. And I don't know how you got it, but even when we started with Mad Flavors World, there might be one negative comment, which is probably just a guy who just does it as a joke. But 99% of the people we get are positive. And there's a couple of you who I talk to and who have even, like, I have a friend, like, when I went down to San Diego this weekend, outside the, George and Becky were walking out of the Palm as I was walking in, and they're not, it's like, the girl I was with asked me, like, are they fans? I'm like, no, like, them and Jordan and Waterbox,
they've become,
like,
friends.
They're friends now. It's not,
they've,
like,
become friends.
So it's been awesome, and it's, I know, trust me, that's why I try not to talk much. I know you're here to listen to Joey, but I really appreciate you guys letting me goof around and take edibles and giggle when Joey tells me to jump in jacks.
You haven't seen nothing yet. We gotta give you. There's like three companies developing the Lee Syatt fucking edible right now. 3,000 milligrams. The Gummy Bear people. Everybody.
There's nothing to develop. Just put the THC in there and watch me pass out.
Special 400 milligram Lee Syatt with a picture.
I'd probably die
before and after. We're gonna have edibles. But anyway. It's been a great fucking week. I'll talk to you motherfuckers next week. We got two great shows next week. Some great guests. We just wanted to do this today, alone today, just to let you know how we feel about you. We got a little sobby on here, but who gives a fuck? It's Wednesday. Grab your cock. Go out there and pee on somebody. Do something with your fucking life. And get back to me, cocksuckers. Remember, joeydiaz.net is where you find the Hulu Plus and t-shirts and hoodies. And fucking the schedule where I'm going to be. I told Obama's wife, shave that monkey. I'm coming to D.C. August 24th or something like that. Mrs. Obama, I'm coming for you, cocksucker. I love you, sexy motherfucker.
Jesus Christ.
I love all you guys. Have a great weekend. Stay black.
Now that the show's over, don't forget to sign up for your free trial of Hulu Plus. Hulu Plus lets you binge on thousands of hit shows anytime, anywhere, on your TV, PC, smartphone, or tablet. Support this podcast and get an extended free trial of Hulu Plus when you go to HuluPlus.com/Joey. That's HuluPlus.com/Joey.
I wasn't.